And now, gambling terms. Snake eyes. Rolling ones with a pair of dice. Double down. Doubling the original bet for one more card. Bad beat. When your strong hand gets beat. Illegal gambling can put you at risk. Protect our communities. Play legit and gamble only where it's legal. Learn more now at PlayLegitCO.com. A message from the Colorado Division of Gaming. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.
Ireland could be conquered in a matter of hours by a small group. These are the thoughts of former Army Ranger and Independent TD for Kildare South, Cathal Berry, who is with me now. Cathal, good morning. In a few hours, that's how pitiful our defences are.
Exactly, yeah. And again, we've discussed this before. If we had some notice, if we had a few weeks' notice, we'd have some hope. But really, we're very vulnerable to any kind of a surprise attack, which is highly unlikely. But I mean, it just shows how poorly resourced our armed forces are.
What are our vulnerabilities?
Well, first of all, we don't even have primary radar. So early warning would be the first vulnerability. So we have no primary radar. We're the only EU country out of 27 that doesn't have any primary radar. So even tiny Malta, with a population and the size of County Cork, has had primary radar for decades, and Ireland doesn't.
Do we know why we don't have primary radar?
No, really. It's just we never had it. And it's very easy to maintain a system, but it's very difficult to set one up, you know. And the fact that we were so close to the UK, we kind of...
Now, we have commercial aviation radar, which is all about transponders being switched on and identifying those aircraft accordingly for either landing in Irish airspace or overflying. Would that not also detect the ne'er-do-wells?
Yeah, so it will detect, so the secondary radar, which is the Irish Aviation Authority's platform, basically, they detect aircraft that has their transponders turned on. But it's very easy to flick them off. Military aircraft regularly do.
Yeah.
And it's a flight safety issue as well. You don't want to be up in Irish airspace, for instance, with an aircraft with our transponder turned off. It's a collision risk, basically, as well.
Okay, so we can't see the enemy coming if they're coming by air. We don't have an Iron Dome.
Correct.
So if anyone was to peg missiles at us, they would just land where they were aimed.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have no primary radar, no sonar, no anti-drone technology, no air defence. We have one ship that can be put to sea. We have no air interceptors. I suppose the key message I'm trying to get across is this is highly unusual. This is not normal. It's not normal in any Western democratic country at all. It's been normalised in Ireland, but it isn't normal.
What about, say, neutral Switzerland?
Yeah, neutral Switzerland is armed to the teeth, basically, because they realise that if they have a policy of neutrality, they must resource that policy. So we have a policy of neutrality, but we haven't resourced it at all. Austria is the same, very, very strong military, because they recognise they must be able to protect their borders, basically.
Yeah. Now, in Switzerland, I remember seeing a reservist at the weekend, it's still in uniform, carrying his submachine gun as he went home.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you just talk about our own reserves, I mean, when I joined our Reserve Defence Force in 1994, 30 years ago, there was 13,000 reservists. Now we basically have 1,300. So that's a 90% reduction in 30 years. And that just shows how pitiful our defence forces are.
There's obviously a belief that we have nothing to fear.
Yeah, correct. Well, we do. Well, fear is a strong word, but something to be concerned about. Just like any home, that's why we lock our doors and windows at night. Just like any business, that's why they have CCTV. That's why they have a night watchman if necessary, or a guard dog, or intruder alarm. And a nation state is exactly the same. It needs to have its deterrence in place, basically, to prevent any interference.
Now, a lot of the time, the job of a soldier in the army was seen as a bit of square bashing, maybe polishing up the equipment, but doing precious little else, unless they went off on overseas adventures at the behest of the UN. And that maybe is why they allowed the armed forces to shrink. They didn't want people hanging around doing nothing.
So I would say most likely the reason they left them to shrink is because there hasn't really been a culture of even discussing defence as a topic in the last...
Do you believe that's
years?
Because of our neutrality, that we don't believe we have enemies?
Correct. That certainly is a component of it. But we didn't have a defence policy in Ireland until 2000. So the year 2000. So we're the first 80 years of our existence, we had no formal defence policy. And that just sums up why we're in a position now where we cannot police or monitor our landmass. We can't police or monitor our sovereign waters or even our airspace, which again is highly unusual.
Now, the idea that we would have hostile aircraft coming into bomb us and then maybe a ground force occupying us, the idea that Russian ground troops would not bother with Poland or Germany or France or Belgium or the Netherlands or Britain, but they just come to us. I mean, that's outlandish.
Yeah, very, very unlikely. However, they can come within 12 nautical miles of our coast, completely legally in territorial waters. We remember about 2 years ago at the start of the Ukrainian conflict, just before it kicked off, a number of Russian naval vessels were pressing up against our EEZ. So that just shows that they can come into our own backyard should they wish.
Okay, now our vulnerabilities obviously are those undersea cables which are connecting the United States and North America generally with Europe. And coming through Ireland, that is a vulnerability. How might we protect those? Because we're probably not going to commission a submarine.
Well, we certainly have to get our Navy back to sea. There's about 700 sailors in the Navy. We need about 2,000. So the Commission of the Defence Force recommended double crewing of vessels and a full complement of 2,000. So we've got a long way to go from that point of view, from a naval perspective. If we can push our maritime presence back out into our territorial waters, that should at least help from a surface point of view.
But nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for president.
If there was a greater conflict between Russia and NATO forces, for example, they might deem us, because we do cooperate in various military exercises with NATO, they might regard us as a hostile force, the Russians, that is. So we buy 12 new vessels, we crew them up, we put them out to sea, and with a few missiles, they knock them out, sink them.
Yes, we're very vulnerable and very, very soft target as well. But this is where cooperation comes in. And it's very important that we cooperate with our neighbours, particularly the UK, and with the EU and with Canada as well, the far side of the pond. Interesting enough that our Lieutenant General Sean Clancy, there's going to be a vote in Brussels being held today. Lieutenant General Clancy, he's the Chief of Staff of the Defence Forces, and his name has been put forward by the government to be the chair of the EU committee, military committee, basically. So we'll know about maybe about 4 o'clock Irish time whether he gets selected or not.
Okay, what would that mean?
It means access. So it's an advisory role. The general will be promoted to a 4-star general, and he'll get to travel around Europe, speak to a lot of politicians, speak to a lot of generals. And I would say as well, there's a personal leadership issue there. If Ireland has that role, then Ireland must step up to the plate and look after its own defences as well. So hopefully that'll be forthcoming in the next few hours.
Now, we've been talking about the threat from without. And time was, I suppose, we'd look at the border and the problem with the 6 northern counties and the 26 counties and so on. And the most likely thing would have been Britain deciding, we've had enough of this nonsense, we're going in, we're going to sort out Dublin. That's not going to happen in any future scenario. But there are other threats from within, and I'm talking about drug cartels, about gangland figures, about the usurping of the state by forces from within. Again, is that likely at all? We're not Mexico.
Yeah, well, it's a possibility. But I think the biggest risk is actually hybrid warfare is what it's called. And I'm sure some of your listeners will have heard of this phrase before. A hybrid activity basically is it's activity above the normal diplomatic threshold, but below the threshold for war fighting. So it's what's called the grey zone. And Russia is very, very active from a hybrid point of view in Ireland, even as we speak right now. So what we're talking about here is cyber attacks. We can talk about sabotage. You can talk about undermining the state's democratic institutions. We've seen how refugees, for instance, and displaced personnel from Ukraine have been weaponized because, you know, they cause a lot of friction inside in Ireland. So that's actually what's happening at the moment. That is the big threat, hybrid activity. And you mentioned about the undersea infrastructure, be it data cables, be it our gas connectors, our electricity connectors. They are very, very vulnerable, and we need to look after them.
Okay, what do we need to do? I mean, you say that we would fall if we were attacked within a matter of hours, and maybe a little bit longer if we had early warning, but we don't have any early warning systems. So what do we need to do? To do it realistically, there's no point in spending money on something that will never, ever be required.
Yeah, so three things. First of all, I would say a standalone defence minister is a good start. A lot of political parties are making out their manifestos for general election now. So I would say a standalone defence minister, number one. This is a full-time job and it needs the focus of a full-time minister. Our current minister is obviously a very, very busy individual. He can't do foreign affairs, tarnished party leader, deputy party leader, etc., etc. So number one, a standalone defence minister. Number two, implement the findings of the Commission of the Defence Forces. That was published about 2.25 years ago. And they're recommending a level of ambition 3, and this was pre the Ukrainian invasion, and very important as well. And number 3, proper resourcing of our defence forces. I mean, there's a lot of press releases going around that we're really ramping up and scaling up the amount of investment in our defence forces. I mean, the increase for 2024 was €40 million, which is 3.3%, which almost keeps up with inflation. So whatever the press release says, it doesn't bear the reality on the ground, basically, because the resourcing hasn't followed through.
Now, what about on the political front? What should we do? I mean, do we join NATO? Do we have closer ties than we currently have with NATO? We have these Partnership for Peace operations that we participate in. Do we talk about neutrality?
So I think the vast majority of Irish people just want us to remain an independent entity from a defence perspective, but to cooperate extensively with our neighbours and friends, which is what we've been doing for
decades. But what do we offer in exchange? I mean, if we depend on the Brits for some sort of air deployment, should we be threatened, or to alert us to the fact that there may be hostile planes using our airspace and so on and so forth, what do we give them back?
Not a lot. Again, if we did have primary radar, we would be able to give them the complete air picture, basically, and the Western Atlantic the Western seaboard of Ireland, basically, which would be very, very useful to the likes of France, very, very useful to the likes of the UK as well. But currently, we've very little to offer. We can offer a small bit from an intelligence perspective, but our intelligence service is, again, not really well resourced. We don't have a civilian intelligence service. We're the only EU country without a civilian intelligence service as well, which is another alarm bell ringing.
Okay. So, again, neutrality, you think, is not on the table at all? I mean, in World War II, we were neutral on the side of the Allies because we kept the German pilots under lock and key until the end of the war, but we returned American and British pilots that ended up on our landmass. We returned them and they went back into active duty.
Yeah, I think maybe we would like to be neutral, but I don't think we are currently. We're just defenceless. Neutral countries have obligations, just like Austria and Switzerland. They're able to look after their airspace. They're able to look after their land borders. But we're not a neutral country. We don't meet the criteria. We seem to claim we are, and we like to think we are, but we don't have the means and the resources to enforce that neutrality and to resource it properly.
Some of the comments coming in: we still have no air interception capability and a lack of naval capacity. We don't have a permanent minister for defence. This is essential. We can't be neutral and undefended. That's from Matt in Lusk. It's about time Ireland grew up and joined NATO. Neutrality only exists until the moment you are attacked. 2 years ago, Ukraine was neutral. Fat lot of good that did them. That's from Ed. Their neutrality was, it's hard to characterise it because they'd already had Crimea taken from them by the aggression of Russia.
So neutrality gives you no protection at all. And in fact, it makes you a very tempting target, basically, because you don't have any Article 5 protection that the other NATO countries do.
Mm. So, characterise what the defence forces should look like. I mean, how many in the army, how many in the navy, how many in the air corps, which might become the air force?
Yeah, so there's currently 7,500 regulars and 1,300 reservists in the defence forces. The Commission of the Defence Forces recommended 11,500 regulars.
So 50% increase.
Absolutely, yeah. And 66% then for the reserve. So that just shows how much of a gap there is and a mismatch between resourcing and actual tasking. I remember the Garda Síochána dropped below 14,000 a few months back, and there was war over it. I know they've got back up slightly above 14,000, but people had a problem when the Garda Síochána were missing 1,000 police, for good reason, and rightly so. The Defence Forces are down over 4,000 or 5,000 troops at the moment, and it's having a major impact on operations.
Yeah. Well, obviously, in order to get kind of war ready or defence ready, they would have to be embarking on many international operations to get the skills honed that would be required should there be some sort of hostile force coming at us. But many people are asking on the text screen, who would invade us? I mean, what's the problem?
Yeah, but again, it's not really about invasion anymore in the 21st century. There's something about hybrid. You don't have to invade a country. You don't have to put tanks on the capital, on the main street of the capital of your adversary anymore. From a cyber point of view, from election interference point of view, from a hybrid warfare point of view, from undermining democratic institutions, that's what's actually currently happening right now. And that's what Russia's engaged with in Ireland.
Another text. I think this would be a ridiculous waste of money, all this defence spending. If anything were to happen, which is extraordinarily unlikely, the UK and France, etc., would literally have no choice but to defend us. They would not tolerate an aggressor in their backyard. So we get the benefit of their defence free. There are schools, hospitals, roads to be built. At the end of the day, there are no votes to be had with military spending.
I think my very presence in the Dáil would suggest otherwise, that there is a lot of votes to be got from a defence and security point of view. Most people would have thought it was it wasn't an issue, but it certainly isn't Kildare South for sure. So just to double up on that as well, Pat. So 15 years ago, our defence forces were quite meagre, but at least they had a certain capability. We could put 8 ships to sea. We had 10,500 in our defence forces. But now it's dropped to 30%. We only put 1 ship to sea. So even if we could go back to where we were 15 years ago, and let's remember 25 years ago, we actually had jet interceptors. The Fuga Magister aircraft. Even when Ireland was a poorer country, we could afford these basic capabilities.
Cathal, it's a lot of food for thought. Thank you very much for joining us. Cathal Berry, who is an independent TD for Kildare South and a medical doctor himself and former Army Ranger. Cathal, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of Black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for Black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.